bike, need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Sometimes I think we cross the line. You can't release me, I'll be fine, I guess. Do those thoughts ever cross your mind? Because they're never crossing mine. A fire burns between my eyes. Can't always read between the lines. Try to be someone you liked, but it's just too much compromise. Be careful with me, 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 me. No matter the space, don't feel it lesser. Necklace is still sitting on your dresser. You're thinking about the last time I undressed ya. Your mind, you said it often. Say what you did, I can go if you don't love me. I just know that it ain't often you come across this. It's hard to let it go. To let you go. Me, 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 me,
you have to understand how things are up here.
Feelings getting strong, baby, you lose. silent, don't mind me. Since we know you can hold your privacy, I'll keep your secrets if you can't keep mine. Fatal attractions for
you're tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh Nations territories here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland. And if you never joined Off the Beaten Path before, listen, you're in for a treat. I just love doing the radio, but also just, listen, I got so much what we like to do here on the show is we like to talk a little bit about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in Canada, BC, you know, the continental plate that we have here. You know, sometimes we go to outer space. I saw something mad wicked. Sometimes we just like to shoot the shit. Sometimes, you know, occasionally, have some people in here. Maybe we'll have, some artists. You know, maybe we'll interview some people. Who knows what we got going on? And we just kind of like to, just imagine it's just like me, you, your mama, and your cousin too, and we just here rapping. Talking a bunch of bullshit, you know, just trying to figure it out. You know, you just get to know a little bit about me. You know, if you'd like to call in to 604-822-2487, that's 604-UBC-CITR. You know, we can learn a little bit about you. You know, we'll just see where the path takes us today. Today, I know that it's going to take us into just some nice vibey music, like whether you're in your car and you're driving throughout Vancouver, and maybe you're an Uber driver or you're a cab driver and you're just trying to forget about the day, or maybe you put your kids to sleep and you wanted to just go out for a drive because you just cannot handle it, or maybe you're like me and you're getting away from football practice and you're like, holy shit, how was that even possible? You know, you're just trying to figure it out. You know, listen, I'm here for you. I'm here for me too, but I'm here for you as well. Listen, I think that to show up for other people, you got to show up for yourself first. And so one of those things is making sure you're checking in, taking care of yourself. And, I encourage you, you know, when we play some music, because listen, I have some, I would say the music that we have today, kind of like my voice, feels like butter. Like if you could put butter straight into your ear. Now, don't think about visually what that would look like, but just what that would, just kind of like the sensation that you would get. Like if you could, that's what it would be like. It's just smooth and delicious. And you're not sure why it tastes so good, why it feels so good, but you know that it's great. And so that's what I'm offering. That's what I'm offering you. That's what I'm offering us for today. Like, you know, this weekend, this past weekend, I was able to go home for the weekend. I was working last week in Atlanta. So listen, if you tuned in and you didn't hear me, It was because I was in Atlanta last week for work, and it is so funny. I mean, not just Atlanta, but in DC too. Something that you don't really hear on the radio is actual good music in the States. Listen, if you're listening to 101.9 right now, it's because you know that it's actually the best radio station in Vancouver. Not only just in Vancouver, but like if you get on a particular show, like I think CITR probably has the best hip hop show in Canada. It's got the best reggae show in Canada. I think it probably has some of the best talk shows in Canada. You know, and then they make some podcasting studios. I'm sure those are the best too. And so, like not trying to even be, a little homer, but just the kinds of people who come here and produce shows, the kinds of people who come in here and, share their musical taste are really great. Like I personally, have expanded my musical taste just from being around the people in the studio here and just being around people at CITR in general. And so, like, I know that. And especially when you listen to the Canadian radio, you're like, literally, I heard Tupac Changes on the radio. And while I love Tupac Changes, it was like their hip hop song for the hour. So listen, if they're playing a 29-year-old song on the radio, just know that, you know, it might be time to kind of update the taste, at least to get some new classics. Like, there are so many new classics anyways. Anyways, so I was at home, and I was in Atlanta for work, and then I was at home in Maryland, D.C. for the weekend. And one thing is that, listen, they played Not Like Us on the radio a lot. And I was in Atlanta, and it was just very... It felt personal, you know, when I was in the bar and, you know, they say, you're not a colleague, you a fucking colonizer. And so it just felt like it just had a little bit more right hook in it. And it just feels like, you know, the song is not going away. One of those things. Yeah, I mean, amongst all, like, a lot of the other music that they play, but I thought that was an interesting note. And so, actually, on the way back to the airport on Sunday, my mom asked me, why is the song so big? Because she's obviously heard it. She knows it's just on Drake. And I had the privilege of walking my mother through each of the diss tracks and playing them all for her. And then let her ask me questions. And it was just, it felt like a bonding moment that I didn't expect, a bonding moment that I didn't know me and my mom needed. Because even to this day, I still get a little bit nervous when I play music with cuss words in them, even knowing that this is what she asked for. Like, she's like, yeah, and just kind of, I wish I would have recorded my mom's take on the beef as she's listening to the lyrics, asking me to pause and go back. Like, ooh, what did they say there? What did you say there? It was just very much it just felt good. Like, you know, like, those are the types of moments for me, at least when I think about what I miss kind of about home. Lots of things I miss about home. But that's definitely one of those things. It's not just kind of like the moments for me when, you know, you go and you see people on the holidays. It's really like those kind of the small moments when you get to just kind of, it's a little bit of a, you know, like a, I don't want to say stolen moments, but those moments that you just kind of feel add the little bit of a garnish to what, for me, is like a hearty meal of coming home. You know, like, coming home fills me up, and it's like those little moments of, you know, flavor and just kind of add a little bit of dressing to just kind of everything else that's going on. And so, no, I had a great time, and my mom, she is definitely on Team Kendrick, so, you know, still. And, you know, it was just quite a lovely trip in general. Sometimes No, we won't go into it. We won't belabor the point too much. Listen, we have a lot to, we got a kind of a lot to get through. Not only do I have a lot of music, not only do I have a lot of music for y'all, but I also have a, not only do I have a lot of music, but I also have just kind of a lot of stories to get through. Like, listen, like, what we, one of the things that, as you have can tell, is that the weather is changing. And when I mean the weather is changing, it feels like the weather has changed already. It feels like I'm like late to tell you that summer's over, but we know, listen, at least I trust that this is like the moment in January where we really feel kind of the coming of fall, but we know that fall, we know that fall is not, we know that summer's not completely over yet. We still have a few more weeks, just, you know, just at least we got this weekend, which would be really nice. And so, you know, while we can kind of mourn summer, we don't have to fully let it go yet. You can still hold on. You can still hold on. But what that means is, I mean, there's some good things. There's some good things that in like this late coming of, in this early coming, late coming of fall, which means that, you know, not only is the cooler air comes through, but that means that we're going to get a little bit more rain. And just in front of the long weekend for you campers, we have learned that there's basically no wildfires right now in BC, in the entire province. And in most places, the BC fire camp ban has been lifted. So if you were going out on a long weekend and you were going camping, you can feel a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more, you can feel less bad about lighting your fires. However, what if you're listening to me, I know that you're already safe, but just making sure that the people that you're with are safe. Making sure that not only are you safe, but you are also practicing good fire safety. Because I think there's like a difference in the misconception about being safe and like being a safe type of person and understanding that accidents do happen. So make sure that you're practicing good fire safety. Make sure that you're doing everything that you can and everything that you should be doing to make sure that we don't have an extended fire season as we see summer kind of fade away. You don't want to be the one that fucks it up for everybody else. Never be that one. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about something that feels a little bit antiquated, but also, if you're like me, you don't have a kid in school, this isn't something that you are familiar with, but something that you should know about. When we get back.
I've named this one JPEG.
Anytime you need her, she come through. Turn on the lights. I'm looking for her. I'm looking for her. I'm looking for her.
Look, I ain't really in the flash and I feel like an accident, I'm never chose. Baby talking voice of passion, I feel like it's corny if you ain't on code. Niggas be on my dick for nothing, I be like, what happened to these niggas, bro? Like niggas be really going through, but there's a better way to let the people know. People say I'm never present, I ain't messy, I'm just focused on my goals. Cause either on or off the drugs, the energy is Tony Potter in his nose. And either on or off the drugs, the energy is Don Magic with the hoes. Cause I've been boxing with the drugs, I got a good chin like James Tone. Niggas be putting your boy in a box, they be acting like cops, I can never be phony. She be acting like a thought, I hope it's all I act, cause she deserves a tone. Neither on or off the drugs, can't hold a buzz, I can out of tone. Cause either on or off the drugs, a voice plays in my ear like I'm a home. The first one was good with the beats. The second one put me up in the deep. The third one was sick, no disease. The fourth, I had to rush it to complete. I don't have no base, it's not a secret. Ain't no happy house, we taking beatings. The streets in my mind is filled with demons. That's why I be eating these bitches like Sarah and Tegan. Cause distractions hitting every season. These niggas just rhyme, no reason. It's not just a facade that I can see. Or standing up for guys I don't believe. I'm Michael Jackson dancing in the mirror. The only one who can't see me is me. The only one who can't be me is me. Warriors, I'm CP3. When I see you, it's TTG. Fuck. We don't take EBT, no C notes, 100K tweets. Gotta pray my son will be this week. Gotta pray my daughter will be this week. Fuck.
I'm looking for. I'm looking for. Turn on the lights.
Some of you niggas be talking right out of the side of your neck, and I can't believe that they be gassing these little hoes. Some of you niggas be sitting around all day hating on niggas they never met. I just feel sad for you, little bro. Baby, you know when I'm wildin' out, I make a mess. I keep the candlelight lit for my bitch in the vest. What did that last one contribute but pussy and stress? Nothing.
I'm looking for her.
I've named this one
JPEG. You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. It, like I said, if you'd like to call in, you know, maybe you have a song to share. Maybe you have, you know, a favorite summer memory you'd like to talk about. You can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You know what? As, you know, as we start to, you know, kind of move into fall, and for me, that means moving into football season. And, you know, today, my football team, if you've listened to the show, you know that my football team has had its ups and downs. Listen, especially if you've been here the entire time since 2016, you know that, listen, we've been up, we've been down, we've been back up, we've been down, you know, and today was one of those down days. You know, it's very difficult. Sometimes it can be just really rough. And when I say it can be really rough, like, I think of myself as a patient individual, especially when it comes to kids. And sometimes, you know, teenagers can just test your patience and really push your limits. And so I understand teachers. I understand teachers just kind of a, I feel like I respect teachers in a way that they should, because I understand what it's like. And so when I read this article about BC bringing in bell-to-bell school cell phone bans, I want to say that this is one of those rules that feels like, why did it ever go away? Like, it's kind of interesting, also kind of weird, because I feel like this is something I talked about when I was home with some of my friends. It just feels like, you know, as we get a little bit older, we feel like people my age, you know, I'm 35, and so I feel like we feel like we were born kind of like almost at the perfect time to understand kind of have a good perspective of the world. And at the same time, we feel like we are listened to the least, you know what I mean? Like that, like there's always, there's talking about this with a client last week, just kind of about how at their company, they had a kind of a generation presentation, you know, documentary film or whatever that was shown, and it was about Gen Z, and basically it was kind of just railing on millennials and our generation. And I was talking about that with some friends, just kind of like, you know, it was just kind of like the least respected, but also the most we understand. And so, because when I look at this rule, this feels like as millennials are gaining more leadership within schools, gaining more leadership within kind of school systems, making the type of rules. You know, cell phone bans is just kind of, I could have seen that coming a mile away. Like, whoever thought that allowing kids having cell phones in school was a good idea? Because, like, cell phones obviously, like, existed for a while, but I feel like cell phones got real big and got very much ubiquitous when I was in middle school. So like in the early 2000s, when, you know, everybody had like a Nokia or a Motorola, or my mom just found like a box of old cell phones at my house, which I thought was crazy because I had my favorite cell phone in there, which was the Palm Pre. So that's like my favorite cell phone of all time. And it reminded me of a time when everybody's cell phone was different, and kind of like the kind of phone that you had, it didn't say something about you, but it was also not just like a flat utility. Like, you know, some people had a flip phone. Some people had, you know, a T-Mobile Sidekick. Some people had, you know, the Nextel. Some, it's just kind of like all these different types of phones, and it's just kind of like what kind of click you were in, depending on what type of phone. It wasn't just Android or iPhone. Anyways, and so, but in that time, in the early 2000s, they had the smart idea to ban cell phones in school and make sure that kids are not using cell phones. And I don't know when that stopped, but whoever stopped that was a damn idiot. And it had to be some type of Generation Xer, because now, you know, those people are in the, were in leadership in schools and understanding that these people are they have something wrong with them. And so, like, looking at now, it's just kind of like, of course we're going to ban cell phones in school. And one of the articles in the CBC is talking about, like, how are we going to implement this and how are we going to make sure people are banning cell phones? You know what our teachers did? It was very effective, and it was very simple. It was called a drawer. If you were caught using your cell phone, the teacher put it in their drawer until your parent came and picked it up. Very simple way to implement a cell phone ban. And what happened to simple solutions? That's one of the things that I think that we're missing just in life and in just kind of in the way that which we go around our days. Like, we have foregone the simple solution. You know, sometimes the simple solution is just a drawer. Just take the phone, put it away. I don't really feel like, I also don't understand parents who complain or rail against that. You know, it's like, I don't know why, I don't understand why this is up for discussion. Like, what is the issue? However, there are parents who are complaining about, you know, what if my kid has my kid? Your kid will be fine. Parent your kid, you know, like that. Like, you know, people have gotten so lazy, and not just the kids. Like, I find that one of the things when I coach football, what you learn is that kids, and this is something I learned not just on my team, but I went home over the weekend and I was helping my friend coach. And what you learn is that, I mean, what you know, and what for me that gives me kind of hope and belief that, you know, that our everything can change, is that, like, kids want to be poured into. You know what I mean? Like, they want to learn. They understand that there is a gap from where they're at and where they want to be. And they want someone to be attentive. They want someone to be there pouring into them. And if you show them that, then they will respond accordingly. And so as adults, you understand that too, like, and you want to be poured into. And so, like, but we understand the barrier that the cell phone creates. And so, like, I don't understand where people are pushing back on people pouring into them or their kid, you know, making sure that those kids are right. And so, anyways, I'm pro cell phone ban. Listen, also, if you need some enforcement to, you know, to get your cell phone, listen, get a drawer. CITR has a drawer fund. You know, if you send in money, we'll help teachers get drawers so that they can find these simple solutions to making sure that things are going smooth into the classroom. Anyways, one of the things that I have found very interesting in both the United States and Canada is this fear, like, this fear of these Chinese EVs. Like, I find that there's always some type of boogeyman. Like, we don't exist in a world without, like, some big, scary, you know, monstrous force that if we let this one thing take over, we are finished. And it's always like the one thing, always like the next thing, for, you know, and this year, this time, this election cycle, it's Chinese EVs. And all I hear from Donald Trump, from Justin Trudeau, from, you know, from whoever the hell type of political party is that, like, they say that they are going to slap big tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles. Now, one thing I don't really understand is that, how does that help me? And how does that help we? You know, how does that help me? How does it help we? How did they not see this coming? So we've, if you haven't noticed, in the past about like 10, it feels like maybe even more than that, 10, 15 years, we as a society have been making a push towards more electric vehicles. Those electric vehicles are supposed to kind of push us off of fossil fuels and help us live a more renewable, sustainable lifestyle. Overall. And so one of those things is that they have, you know, there's this big emphasis. So like where the Canadian government has provided subsidies to electric vehicle buyers. So like if you buy a Tesla or some other types of electric vehicles, they provide subsidies. The same thing in the United States, you know, you can trade in. They had the cash for clunkers where you could trade in your large SUV for a smaller car and get a government subsidy, or you could get a subsidies for EVs, particularly for some models of Tesla, some models of Rivian, just all types. Chinese manufacturers make an EV that costs $10,000. When you see that right now trucks going for 60, 70, 80K, you see that they have been able to make cars for way cheaper in Asia, and we are not allowing them to make them or bring them over here. And not only are we not allowing them to bring them over here, which is not capitalism at all, we are not even investing in how can we make our products compete. Like, that's the one thing that I find that is kind of so baffling and so backwards, kind of about just the way in which you know, the Canadian government, the U.S. government approaches foreign policy, is that you never hear about competition and investing in the people so that we can compete on a global scale. It's always about stifling some other country from coming up so that we can make sure that we maintain our hegemony over top of all of these countries. And it's one of those things that, like, it's very hard to be like, that's one thing that boggles me about, like, America and, you know, I want to say Canada for like a lesser, but like the idea that, like, how can you be proud when your first place comes from pushing everybody down, not lifting your own people up? Like, there's something to be said kind of about, like, I don't hear anything about how we are going to invest in domestic plants and domestic workers and scientists to make sure that we can continue to create the highest quality X on the planet. It's just like, oh, those people are making that over there, let's get them. That's it. There's nothing inspirational about that shit, which is the whole problem. Like, I find myself less inspired every day, and that's just because where is this supposed to come from? You know, like, this is not, you know, we talk a little bit about politics here, but the inspiration just feels a little bit, everything feels a little bit as if, like, we cannot see the shakiness that the foundation that everything is built on, you know, like that, rather than addressing it head on. We just choose to just kind of move forward and close our eyes. And so, like, when I see this, it's like when I see, like, Trudeau or Trump or Kamala Harris or, you know, talk about tariffs on Chinese EVs, I just try to think of like, you know, how does that help us? And how does that help me, you know, or, you know, us kind of move towards a more sustainable future globally when, you know, people are having a hard enough time right now affording, you know, cars, affording housing, affording everything. And there's ability to, and then like, you know, just across the water, they're making and selling cheap cars. And it's like, listen, I don't care that they're Chinese. I also don't care that that their company is founded, you know, is a state company, and they are, I don't care about any of that shit. Tell me why I should not want a $10,000 EV or a $10,000 pickup truck that they sell in Japan. Anyways, listen, when we get back, we're going to talk about how the BC government is helping a little bit, but why it might not 100% be enough.
She told me, boy, I don't need you. Why would I think that you need me? She broke my heart when I seen her.
You tuned in with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, you know, I was going to just jump right into it. So they have decided to increase, to set the rent increase cap at 3% this year, which is 1% lower than what it has been. Annual allowable rent increase is tied to inflation rate for 2024 is 3.5%. So, I don't understand why our rent cap is tied to inflation. Like, and also just like, I mean, while 3% is nice, it should be 0%. Just because like the BC government says landlords will not be able to increase rent by more than 3% in 2025. The government said it basically it will take effect on January 1, and the allowable rent increase this year is 3.5%. listen, like, if your rent goes up 3% last year and 3.5%, 4% last year, 3.5% this year, 3% next year, your rent has gone up almost 10% in, it's probably, I think it's a, I think it's actually around like almost 11% that your rent has increased in the past 3 years. And so when they say it's tied to inflation, it's really, it's one of those things, like, as someone who studied economics, like, in undergrad and understands just kind of how they are calculating the basket of goods and understanding inflation, like, it always feels so, it's just one of those things that it will never feel real to me because, like, the, it is so detached from what actual, you know, from the actual realities of people. Because, like, for myself, like, I know that, like, in, just because inflation inflates everything except for my wage. It's crazy to that. It just continues to go up. However, if your rent is supposed to go up this year, make sure that you do the math and you calculate exactly what 3.5% of your rent was before you start to pay your landlord the rent increase. My rent increase for my apartment, I actually tricked my landlord because this is what you have to do. Pay different amounts during the year, but like make sure you pay the right amount. And then when your landlord gets confused, you say, "Oh, I thought it was this." And then they're going to go back in their paperwork and they're going to look at it and see and charge you last year's rent and then make the calculation off last year's rent. So that's what happened. Fuck all landlords. And listen, even if you are one of my friends and I like you and you're a landlord, get a job, you know? Listen, if you want to make some extra money on the side, go bust tables. Maybe sell some dope. You know, take a risk. Like whenever I hear like that my landlords have bad tenants, I'm like, good. Good. You can't afford good ones. Anyways, let's see what else we got going on. This is some good news. This is like one of those things that you just feel like never happens, but really the idea is that it never happens to you. So staff at Foy's Irish bar in East Vancouver is cheering after they put money in a lottery pot and it came back with $1 million winning ticket. Each of the 15 people at the pub will basically take home around $67,000. And, you know, that's one of those things where I normally would hate on people. Like, I hate when people, you know, I hate allowing people to enjoy little things, but this is something that, like, you know what? I'm just happy for them. You know who I'm sure is hating, though? Like, I'm sure there's one person or two people who worked at that bar who just never put in on the lottery because they just feel like it's dumb. You know, some of those people who just like, oh, I'm not going to do that. That's dumb. You know what I mean? Like that, like, I'm not wasting my money on that. That's dumb. And you know what? I don't have to hate on these people who work there because I'm sure that that person is hating on everyone and is just probably at home right now, bitter as hell. Listen, if that's you and you want to call in and state your feelings, listen, the number is 604-822-2487. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear like about what that felt like when you found out all your coworkers just won 70 grand and you decided that you were too good for the office pool lottery because we all know that guy, you know, that guy who's just too smart for the lottery. You know what? And you're probably feeling a little too stupid right now. Sucks. It sucks. One of these things is that we always, on this show, we always, you know, talk bad about police. Just because, I mean, police do a lot of bad shit. But, like, also, even when they do good stuff, by good, like, you can't see the air quotes. It's just not right. So, this weekend, the RCMP, this is the headline, the RCMP stumbles into the largest drug bust in Prince George's history. Mounties say that officers investigating a break and enter in Prince George's stumbled on what turned out to be the biggest haul of illicit drugs in the city's history and northern B.C. Basically, RCMPs were responding to a report of a break and enter on Wednesday when they noticed a large number of counterfeit cigarettes on the premises. A search warrant obtained says the police seized nearly 40 kilograms of fentanyl, cocaine, methamphetamine, as well as 120,000 counterfeit cigarettes and more than $500,000 in cash. Police also seized more than 40 pounds of cannabis and some baking soda. So basically, the police just happened to find this. Like, not through police work, not through detective work, just because they received a phone call of a breaking and entering. And I bet that phone call was someone who knew what the police would find there. Just kind of goes to show that police officers cannot, if they cannot do anything about the massive amount of drugs that were in this house, like, just kind of through their own police work, what are they actually good for? Like this anonymous call could have called anybody. They could have called you, and you could have went there and found the largest drug bust in Prince George's history, if they just would have called literally anybody. Anyways, the police, what did they really do, you know? So, sometimes, there's two stories that we've talked about here on here. Actually, you know what? I'll play you some music and then we're going to come back. I got two stories I want to talk about. Hey, listen, it's two about two wrongful jailings and only one righteous path. When we get back, stay tuned.
See it written in your eyes. You know that you're just my type. I know that you feel like we could find a compromise. You escape if we could catch a fight. Far away from pesky eyes, where it's only you and I. You got me feeling like. I'm
Back it off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. That was Negro and Pacto, a new artist that I've been listening to. Super, super soulful, super vibey. And so one of the things that, so we've talked about these two stories on the show, and when I mean that the police don't do shit, like this is what I mean. So Crystal Kizer has been sentenced to 11 years for murder. Now, this is a story that has been going on for quite a bit. So Kizer, she's now 24, was handed her sentence on Monday, in addition to 5 years supervised release. Basically, when she was 16 years old, she met the victim, and she had been sexually abused by him, as well as been trafficked by him, and to get away from him, she murdered him in 2018. And she was charged in 2002 with first degree homicide, and basically she had to plead for her life and have her life sentence reduced to 11 years. And now she's going to spend the next 11 years in jail for basically killing the man who abused her. Now, it's like, what do you expect somebody to do? You know what I mean? Like, in a situation, this, because for me, when I think about the idea of someone being sex trafficked, and not even just the idea, the reality of sex trafficking, the reality of abuse, and the reality of what the impact that has on someone in the short and the long term is that you are legitimately, that person is taking their life. Like, yes, she murdered him, but like he was stealing her life very slowly. And it feels so cruel to give her 11 years for being a victim. And that's fucked up. And you know, this is something for me, at least, that you know, when you see these types of stories, you just say like, well, the hope is that someone who's being abused in that manner can fight their, like, because in many ways, that's really the only help that these people can get is through themselves, and you just hope that they, you know, have the ability. And I don't think there's an expectation that everybody's gonna fight for their life like that, but like if they do and they fight and they win, then they should win their life back. They shouldn't be punished. It's really fucked up. And when I see this, I see that type of story, it's sad. So like Crystal Kizer, like I think that when we talk about, you know, you hear the phrase, you know, say her name, you know, and you think about the victims of, you know, brutality, police brutality that we have, you know, that have succumbed to the, you know, but they, you know, they're no longer with us. You know, someone who was able to fight back, you know, in an oppressive situation, and they're punished. Like it's just really fucked up. And what else fucked up? So we talked about this before, the Illinois worker who was sentenced to 9 years in prison for stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings over the years, has been a football player named Chris Jones. He plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He said that he will pay her debt so that she can get back out on the streets. And so basically, you get back on the streets. And the thing is, I didn't even know this. So Liddell was accused of ordering 11,000 cases of chicken wings valued at approximately $1.5 million while employed for the school system. The food was intended for students attending remote classes from 2020 to early 2022. It's not clear if Chris Jones is being serious, but I hope that he is, because he just signed $160 million contract. So, you know, he could spend $1.5. But hey, that's off the beaten path. Hey, listen, you know, I love doing the show. Love being here with y'all. And Crystal Kizer, I just honestly, whenever I hear about her story and I hear about just kind of the punishment of fighting back, it is one of those things that fires me up. But I hope that you all have a great week. Have a great weekend. Listen, enjoy the sunshine, because it could be the last you see until next June. I'm out.